Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for the Christophers, and today we'll be featuring a story about a young man who suffered terribly during the long famine in North Korea until he escaped to China and found his way to America with the help of Christian activists. Author Joseph Kim will join me to discuss his Christopher Award-winning memoir, Under the Same Sky. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi. The famine that hit North Korea during the mid-1990s transformed young Joseph Kim's life from one of comfort to one of despair. His father died, his mother was sent to prison, and his sister was sold to men in China. Survival sometimes trumped morality during Joseph's years as a homeless beggar and thief, but after escaping to China, he encountered Christian activists who put him on the road to his current life as a college student in America. Joseph documented his story in the Christopher Award-winning memoir, Under the Same Sky. To tell us more, I'm pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Joseph Kim. Joseph, thank you so much for being on the show today.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Well, let's start talking about Under the Same Sky, because you're in this book, this Christopher Award-winning book. You're writing about life in North Korea, which is a mystery to most Americans. So I want to find out about your life, but starting with your childhood, because before the famine happened there and things got very bad, you seem to live a fairly comfortable life. So tell me about growing up with your mother, father, and sister.
Yes. As you said earlier, before the famine, I was just a normal child who received great amount of love for being the only son and the youngest child of two in the family. My parents didn't struggle for providing food. There was enough food that at the time that before the famine, and there were times that we often had weekend treats for like baking cookies that my mom used to love to make it for us for the weekend.
Yeah. I'm talking to Joseph Kim about his book, Under the Same Sky. You seem to have a special relationship with your sister. How did she take care of you?
My sister was extraordinary, I would say. Even my people around, grown-ups around my neighborhood used remind me that, or told me that your sister is just an amazing sister that you should be grateful for. Mm-hmm. She was 7 years older than me, and I guess just one way to explain or describe how great sister she was. She, for example, when my father go out town and come back with like 10 pieces of candy, he would give 5 for me and 5 for my sister. Mm-hmm. My sister never ate all the 5 pieces. She would always eat 1 or 2 mm-hmm. for herself and save 3 or 4 for later when I'm sick or when I'm not happy for some reason. He would surprise me with bringing the candies that she had hidden before. And growing up, I never thought that was normal, I guess. I thought that was what sisters have to do. Mm-hmm. So I just didn't realize it, but she was always sacrificing for me, and that kind of love never stopped growing up.
Yeah. I'm talking to Joseph Kim. His book is Under the Same Sky, From Starvation in North Korea to Salvation in America, written with Stephen Talty. How did your life change when the famine struck North Korea? How did it affect your family and even the country as a whole?
I mean, even for my family, it changed from like 180 degrees. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of a sudden, I realized that we didn't have food to eat. Not only that, I also remember hearing whispers from my parents that saying about how someone died from hunger. So I think it was just shocking, but at the same time, I was frustrating because I didn't know what was happening, and I'm pretty sure that was the same case for my parents as well. They didn't know what was happening other than that they were not receiving food that they supposed to from government. I mean, later on, my father died of starvation when I was 12 years old. My sister went to China to look for money and earn some money and find some food to come back, but she couldn't find, and as a result, she was sold to a Chinese man. My mom, later on, was sent to prison camp in North Korea, and that also led me to become a homeless and orphan in North Korea. So it changed pretty much everything. I mean, I took away my family, took away of my education. I couldn't attend school. And it was just a complete disaster.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, here in the United States, you see a lot of people disagreeing about politics and government and criticizing leaders, but that is very different from North Korea. What was the people's attitude towards their leaders there that kind of helped? Because I guess you got a lot of propaganda. It sounds like you didn't find out the truth about why the famine was happening.
Right. I mean, in North Korea, even just opposing ideas of what leaders do in North Korea is complete foreign concept.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure some people around that time or maybe perhaps questioning the government and the leadership inside, but knowing that expressing that in public would bring severe consequences, I'm pretty sure they could not express it to anyone else. As a child, I didn't even know what politics was. Mm-hmm. So I think my direct frustration and was going back to my parents, why are they not giving me food, even though it was not that they didn't want to give me food, it was they couldn't provide it. So I think saying something against government or even to debate about whether this leader, their government and leadership is doing right or not, it's just not there in the average people.
It's just not done in North Korea, sure. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Joseph Kim about his memoir, Under the Same Sky, From Starvation in North Korea to Salvation in America. I mean, now that you're in the United States and even in China, I know you were exposed to Christianity, but growing up in North Korea, were you taught anything about the concept of God or spirituality?
No, I mean, in North Korea, you're not allowed to practice any religion, and Christianity or any type of religion was prohibited. And therefore, as far as I remember, I was never aware of God and any other religions. At least from my experience, I know some people from North Korea say that they had made underground missionaries, but my family case, I never got a chance to introduce the concept of God.
What was the great leader? Was he thought of in a godlike way, do you think, the leader of the...
Sure. I mean, I didn't realize at the moment. I mean, at the time in North Korea, they are very effective in brainwashing people, and I think I always thought that him as like extraordinary people who could do things that normal people would not be able to do. And also because I wasn't aware of what the concept of what God is, I couldn't really make a parallel or say, oh, that's like similar to God. But I knew that he now, I think in retrospect, I think he definitely put the government definitely portrayed him as a God figure.
Sure. Well, I mean, when you first escaped to China and you met Christians, what did you think of their beliefs and of their actions? Because these were strangers who were willing to help you, which you said in the book, Under the Same Sky, was a foreign concept to you. So how did you, adjust to this, these new types of people?
I think because it was so foreign concept that I became interested in religion, in a long story short. But I just couldn't understand why people were willing to help me or give me free stuff, money or food. That was just completely unimaginable because, but then at the same time, because there was no access to food or money, that for me, I think just to find out that such groups like Christians give helps for people who need help, I went. And I think what really made me curious was that it was just the idea of unconditional love and giving. And I was just very suspicious, but they never asked me anything else back. They just were willing to give me help without any conditions. And I think that even drew me more attention. And I just wanted to understand. I was never thought that I wanted to believe in religions, but I just wanted to find out what they believe and why they're different. And there was one pastor's wife that who gave me 50 yen in Chinese, which is pretty significant amount. And at this time, I knew and I accepted that I understood that Christians give help for poor or the people who need help. So even though I didn't completely understood why they're doing it, I was just grateful what they're doing it. And I always thought that maybe that Christians are really rich and have a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I didn't, I mean, that was my conclusion because I couldn't figure it out on my own why they are giving me help. But later on that I realized and learned that the pastor's wife who gave me that 50 yen, she was not actually rich, or the fact that, in fact, her husband had a very bad teeth, but she they could not afford dentistry or going to dentist office. And that struck me. I think that I was just not able to process that. And that's where I wanted to understand what they believe and what Christianity was, because I was so touched and I was so moved at what she did. And that was why I started, I picked up a Bible. I was at the time in an underground church, and there was a Bible, Korean Bible. So I started to read Genesis, but of course I could not understand what was happening, and everything was just so puzzling. But I just realized that the pastor's wife was happy that I was trying to read the Bible. And so I remember that I just skipped the pages without just really reading it, because I thought that I knew that she was happy that I was reading it. So I just wanted to make
her happy.
And that was the only way to please her and make her happy. So that's how I became Christian, curious about the religion. And that was the beginning of my spiritual
journey. I'm Tony Rossi, and you're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'll be back in a minute with more of my conversation with Joseph Kim. But first, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
When Father James Keller founded the Christophers, he chose the organization's name because it means Christ-bearers in Greek. He wanted to encourage everyone to discover their God-given talents, combine their faith with action, and change the world for the better. For ideas on how you can be a Christ-bearer in your own life, the Christophers have prepared a news note called Being a Christopher. It's filled with quotes and insights from Father Keller himself, who once explained, "The presence of even one Christopher in any environment is a blessing, a channel of grace, and a step in the right direction. It's like a tiny pinpoint of light that is greater than the encircling darkness." To request your free copy of Being a Christopher, send an email to radio@christophers.org. Or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4673. 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back to Christopher Close Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and I'm talking with Christopher Award-winning author Joseph Kim about his memoir, Under the Same Sky, From Starvation in North Korea to Salvation in America. You write some very moving passages in the book about how basically when you were still in North Korea, you were treated like an animal. It was almost like every aspect of humanity, the human part of you, disappeared, or other people even was pressed down so low because of the famine and just the struggle to survive. Do you think this exposure to Christianity and then becoming, you know, opening your own life to Christianity, did that kind of raise you back up to give you hope again to feel more human?
Yes, I think the Christians that I have met in China restored my faith and belief in humanity, you know, in one sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because growing up in North Korea, especially after I became an old homeless, I remember begging for food from strangers, but of course, because there was lack of food, not everyone was willing to share their food. Because if they shared their food, means their own child has to suffer from hunger. So I understood why they were not, they couldn't share their food.
Mm-hmm.
People couldn't share their food. But going to China, I think that's where I lost my faith in humanity or in people, because knowing that in China, there were food, people had food to share. And it was not like that I was asking like a couple $100 of steak. Mm-hmm. I just asked for leftover rice or anything that I could eat. But many people refused to give me that help. And that's where I felt so hopeless. So I was really unhappy. It's not really a good word. I was really disappointed of human beings at the time. But I think meeting people like the women who gave me 50 yen,
mm-hmm.
Even though that her husband could not go to dentist for not having money, or types of the kind of sacrifice that that Christians, at least that Christian woman, have shown me, gave me hope, and made me really happy that there are still people who make sacrifices. I think that definitely Christianity as a religion, I think, made me think about it. If it's a religion or doctrine that can make people more human, then why would I not want to know about the religion, or why do I not want to understand? So I think in a way, like, Christian as a religion has deeper personal connection to me, at least because of the people who demonstrated the sacrifice. I think in America, we use the word sacrifice easily,
mm-hmm.
Lightly, but I think sacrifice really, it's a word that has profounding and more than more meaning than we could imagine. I think yes. So I think in a sense the exposure to the Christians that I met in China definitely helped me restore my faith in humanity, but also gave me hope that I can. Yeah, it just gave me hope, and that's, I think, where I started wanted to or having desire to understand their religion at the time.
Right. Yeah. Right. I'm talking to Joseph Kim about his memoir, Under the Same Sky, From Starvation in North Korea to Salvation in America. Now you're in America now, you're a college student, your life is pretty successful. What are your hopes for the future? I mean, are you going to keep going to school? Do you still hope to find your sister someday?
Yes, finding my sister would be a goal that it's a ultimate goal for my life. I will definitely continue my education, but more than just education, I think learning or learn how to become more compassionate for the people, for North Korean people. If I to elaborate what I mean by learn to become compassionate, is that I think living in America and going to colleges, there are many times that I look for success and I look for material goods that as people do, and I think that's not wrong or anything, but I sometimes, not sometimes, many times I think I forget where I have come from, and I feel like I tend to pursue goals and dreams that for myself, and I think it's a reality that I don't want to accept. It's an inconvenient truth, but so what I'm trying to say is that education is definitely gonna help me to help people, for the North Korean people, I hope. But I think more than education, I think just developing my character and myself as to become a true person that who cherishes and values love. I'm not really articulating this point, but...
Oh, you're doing well. You express it well, Joseph.
I think after I have presented my story in TED stage, I think I received tremendous amount of attention from public in general. I mean, I remember going to I remember some conference like offered me first class to fly out to share my stories. Mm-hmm. And I remember because of that, I went around the world to share my stories. But I think one thing that I realized from myself was that instead of sharing, I think I was by sharing my stories, I was hoping to gain and build my reputation and title or things or the goods, material goods. Mm-hmm. But I knew that from inside my heart, I knew that I wasn't doing something right. So I think I was just really confused at who I am. Like, why do I want to pursue this while so many other boys and girls who are still suffering from food? But while I'm in the United States, I have all the needs, like basic needs, clothing, food, freedom, but still I'm pursuing for something else for myself. And I couldn't figure it out. Like in my head, I was saying that, you know, that's fine as long as I promote and raise awareness of North Korean people. Like, what's the problem? But I think one thing that struck me was that the Corinthians chapter 13 or verse 10, I think it was saying that even if you have good tongue or even if you have a talent, skill to speak, if you don't have true love, then your words becomes just a gong or sounds of gong. Mm-hmm. And it's meaningless. And I think that really said a lot to me, to myself, because like I remember like trying to become the eloquent speaker or like just present myself as to the best I can. But I realized that inside my heart, I lost the love towards North Korean people, the genuine love So I think that's what I meant by I think the education is definitely a tool that can help me to contribute to this issue. But more than education or the knowledge, I think having a true compassion or building or to become a true loving the North Korean people is probably the priority that I have to work on.
Right,
so,
right.
Yes, I'm sorry it took for a long time.
No, it's okay, Joseph, it's okay. No, I think it was a good answer, and I think reading Under the Same Sky, your heart and compassion for the North Korean people comes through, and I think you're going to accomplish just exactly what you set out to do and do it with love and with compassion. I've been talking to Joseph Kim. He's the author of the Christopher Award-winning memoir, Under the Same Sky, From Starvation in North Korea to Salvation in America. It's a powerful read, and it's also a testament to just how important simple acts of kindness are to people, like Joseph experienced from Christians in China. Sometimes we can give short shrift to those acts of kindness and acts of sacrifice, but they really set Joseph on a new path in life, and he is grateful for that today. So I encourage people to read Under the Same Sky by Joseph Kim. And Joseph, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, before we end today's show, here's what the Christophers would like to share with you.
Every once in a while, we come face to face with someone who has borne the weight of the world on their shoulders without losing hope or crumbling under the pressure. How are some people able to cope in circumstances that would debilitate the rest of us? The short answer is that their perseverance is grounded in faith. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Persevering Through Pain and Struggle. It shares stories and reflections that will help you endure challenging times by relying on the promise of God's love. To request your free copy of Persevering Through Pain and Struggle, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.